that we need in life. But it tells us that in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. And I want to go through that just a minute before we get down to the book of Matthew. But in Philippians it says, be careful for nothing. In other words, it doesn't say live crazy. Don't just do whatever you want to do. But to be careful for nothing means that we need to pay attention. And we need to think about what we do and realize that if we're trying our best and we're seeking God's will, He's there and He's got an answer for us. And He's got a peaceful answer. And He's got a way that we can do this. But it says, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. So when we pray and we seek God's will and we seek His advice and His peace, then we do that in a way that, you know, I don't say, well, Lord, I think I've got this figured out. No, it says in prayer and supplication, we humble ourselves, being thankful that we, for maybe for the situation, which sometimes I'm not, but we should be, because God has a purpose and a plan for that situation that comes in our life. And sometimes it's really tough. And it's hard to go through. But it says that if we do that with thanksgiving and thankful for the person or for the God that we have and that we should serve, that will answer our prayers, that we can go to Him, because we've always got somewhere to go. If you're a child of God, you've always got somewhere to go, and that's to the Lord. And it says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And I just told you what happens to me sometimes when things go wrong with in my life and unexpectedly. It's not things that God has already taught me how to handle. It's things that come up unexpectedly I didn't realize was coming. And all of a sudden, I start to worry. And I get anxious and I have anxiety and things like that. And then I completely lose focus where God tells me to focus. And we'll talk about that in just a few minutes. But what a wonderful verse this is, and tells us what God has for us. Wow. I mean, I don't know if it's ever happened to you, but I bet there's some in here that's had some worry. And when that comes in your life, sometimes I don't worry about myself. But if something happens to my child, I'm concerned. It bothers me. And I start working at figuring out the answer. And sometimes I think, you know, I'm intelligent enough that I can find this. I've got this answer somewhere in my brain. But it takes a while and I don't find it. Then I go talk to somebody else. I look for somebody else that I think's maybe been in this situation, maybe has an answer. Doesn't work. But then I realize that if I know how to spell Google, I get the answer. So I can look it up on the internet and see what everybody says. But I don't get the answer that I want so many times. And so I realize after I've exhausted all my earthly resources and I've not received any kind of solution for this or anything to fix my problem or what I'm worrying about, and it's built and built and built, and it says it's, you know, it affects your heart and your mind. Well, you know, it stays on my mind sometimes. I can't sleep. I lose sleep over it. I don't rest good, which affects me going forward the next days and the things that I need to be doing or whatever should be doing. And it affects me when I read my Bible, because after a couple of days of worry and losing sleep, I'm sleepy. I can't even stay focused. I can't even pray right. And I realize that, you know, and then I drink too many Diet Mountain Dews. I'm addicted to them, okay? So that's an admission. So I have all this caffeine in my system, I don't want to say anything about coffee because I don't like coffee. But I bet there's some in here that like coffee. But after I drink so many Diet Mountain Dews, I get heart palpitations because I've got too much caffeine in my body. So everything's just going wrong, and it affects me physically and mentally. It affects my heart and everything. And then I realize that there's no answer here. There's no peace here. And then I want, you know, to go. Then I realize, man, how can I be so stupid? because God's given me answer after answer, opportunity after opportunity to get the peace that He has for me so I can go through this situation and not necessarily not care about it, not be concerned about it, but not worry about it, so I can handle it. And so I can handle it in the right way by taking it to God so He can fulfill the needs that we have. And I want to share a story with you that happened to Sandy and I several years ago. This is a very emotional story for me. But as most of you know, that she went through cancer, and this has been about 9 years ago, I think. And as she went through this cancer, and we battled that for about, 3 years or so, and then we were told for her to go to Vanderbilt and things like this, and then they said she needs a stem cell transplant. We didn't really know anything about it. We go through all this stuff and we're trying to figure out what it is. They give me a book to read that tells me all about it, and I read 3 chapters and I'm sick. I throw the book away. And they give us 3 options that we can take for her care. And this is, and I want to tell you this because this is not to brag on her or me or anybody else except our God. We had 3 options. And honestly, there was only 1 option that I thought of in my mind that I would do. But we thought about it and we could not. We talked to the doctors and everybody. We didn't know which option to take, what's best. And they couldn't tell us either. They could tell me, this is your opportunities, but they can't tell you that any of it's going to work. So finally, again, after much mental deliberation and going on, we decide that it's time to go to the Lord. And we did that, and we surrendered that problem to the Lord. And in a couple of weeks, He shut 2 doors and left 1 door open. And we knew that was His answer. Because honestly, and you know what? That is sad for me to say, the answer and the door that God left open was one I would never have chosen. I hated it. But you know, after He gave us that information, we realized this is God's answer. It's got to be the right one, regardless of an outcome. It's got to be the right one to take. And so God has put those opportunities in our life to learn and to grow and to understand that we don't have to worry because it doesn't solve anything. It just makes everything worse. But we take it to God, and there's a peace there that He can do, He can use and change our life with. But after being worried to death about things, and we realize that, you know, we've got decisions to make and things of that, there's a focus that we need to keep. And the Lord revealed that to me one time during this cancer process as we got there. And Isaiah 26:3, I was up one morning reading my Bible, my devotions, and I was getting into Isaiah, and I'm thinking, and this was right after Sandy was diagnosed, and I'm thinking, oh my, you know, Lord, I need an answer. And I was really begging Him. And I sat down to resume my Bible reading right where I was at in Isaiah chapter 26, and I thought, I'm in the Old Testament, these Old Testament prophets, what is God going to tell me? And in verse 3, He says, thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. And that's not just for cancer. That's for every situation in life. And that's a verse that's been close to my heart ever since then because God used it in my life. And I prayed for it, but honestly, I was blown away when I read that verse because it made a difference in my life. And God's word will always make a difference in our life. But as many times, this great verse here in Philippians told us we need to take our problems through prayer to our Lord. Wow, he always has an answer. He always has the right path. Now in Matthew, it talks about the worry. So we're going to go to Matthew chapter 6 now in verse 25. And God gives us some clear messages about our worries. And this was where, you know, the Lord was speaking to me when I was reading this and trying to study for this lesson this week. And he said everything that I do poorly. And he just, you know, it's like he just, you know, grabbed a hold of me by my ears and pulled me up to his face the whole time and just was telling me, this is what you need to do. This is because you don't do it well. But Jesus is speaking in these verses and gives us a clear message. And I want to start in verse 25, 31, and 34. And he says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what shall you put on? Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? And then down in verse 31 it says, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? And then down in verse 34 it says, take therefore no thought, excuse me, for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So the message is clear. These thoughts are an example of how we worry about our life and stuff. Now, like I said, you guys, maybe you have been saved a lot longer than I have. My date of salvation is coming up on November 11th, and I'm excited about that. It's also my daughter's birthday. I'm not excited about that, but anyway. That's because that affects my pocketbook. That's worry too. But anyway, I look at these verses and it talks about all the aspects in our life. And many of us, you know, in the day we live in our country, I know that today for many people inflation is a big worry. The price of gas, the price of groceries, the lack of things that we want and need sometimes to do, and you know, all these things affect our life, and we worry about these things. We worry about our government, some of the things that they promote, and things like that, like abortion. How that's wrong. The Bible tells us that, and so there's so many things that in our life that we have to worry about. We worry about our health needs, and as we get older. And I'm getting older, and I'm finding out I've got a lot more health issues that affect me and stuff like that. But we can get concerned and worry about these things. Like I mentioned before, we can worry about our children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. They have issues in their lives. You know why? I'm one of these days, if Jesus don't come back soon, I'm going to be gone. But my children may still be here. And guess what? They're still going to be dealing with all this stuff. So, and that's the reason the Bible tells us to train them up in the way they should go, to follow the Lord. But all these things we have to worry about, but the Bible tells us right here, don't worry about this. Don't let this concern you and consume you and take control of your life. And that's so easy to do. And like I said, I'm really good at worry. And I let it do all those things sometimes. And that's just because I'm not where I ought to be as a Christian. Some days I might be, or at least think I might be, but other days I'm not. And so I'm not a very good example of this. That's the reason we need God's word, because we can't be a perfect example. But he says not to take thought for these things. Don't let them control you, and don't let them run over you. And then he gives us a reason. Here's why. It's pretty, it's clear. He gives us the perspective we should have about our problems. And he talks about it in verse 26 and 27, all the way down through verse 29. It says, behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? I know he's not in here, but I know John Young Jr. would like to have, or John Young would like to have another cubit or two. He tells me that all the time. So anyway, also it says in verse 27 or 28, and why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like unto one of these. Wow, how much does that tell you that God can do? And he says that we are more important than that. Now that ought to tell us that we've got a position that's a little higher than that, and God's taking care of them. Why would he not take care of me as his child? He gave his son for my life. Jesus died for me because that was God's plan. Why would that not be important to tell me that he loves me and he cares for me even more, it says here in his word. So these examples that he gives us are of our perspective should tell us that, you know, we can be faithful Christians. And there's many in this auditorium today, I know. But I bet there's also some that worry. Some that don't go straight to God when the problems first arise. Maybe just like me. I hope not. And I hope after this lesson and after my studies this week that I will improve and I'll get closer to God, because I don't have the answers, but God does. And that's who we need to depend on. And then the things that we need to, I want to mention too today, that I think is very important to all of us that we get to have time with, is being God's word, because he's, like I've said several times, he's the answer. But he's provided for our problems. He's given us the perspective. And then he's given us promises of what he can do if we'll live in obedience to his word and we'll stay in his word, because it increases our faith. And a lot of times, you know, my faith is, like I've said, in the wrong things, and my faith needs to grow. It needs to get stronger. And you know what blows my mind sometimes is some of the stuff I've already shared to you about how God did great, wonderful things in our life, Sandy and I. And how do I get that? How do I forget that? How do I let that get away from me and then let something that's not nearly as serious consume me? You know, and I don't understand that. And you know, we run school buses, and sometimes when those buses are on the road, oh man, I just can't wait till they get back in, so I know everything's okay. Or if something's wrong, I find out what it is so I can start my scavenger hunt for the answer. And then, you know, so if a problem arises, they always call Sandy. They don't want to talk to me, they talk to her. So they call her, and when the phone rings, I'm asking her, if I'm there, I always ask her, who is it? Before she ever answers the phone. So I know that I'm already in concern. I'm already tore up over it. What is it? I know somebody's got a problem. Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't, but that's the way I view it. And that's wrong. It's wrong. I shouldn't do that. And I should trust the Lord more. But he gives us so many promises that we can cling to. And he's provided for us this peace that we seek or should be seeking to control our life and dominate our life. But now, let me say this. I'm making a lot of confessions today, but as I stand here and talk about this, how we should do and what we should do and stuff like that, it sounds easy. But when we live it, it's not always easy. But God knows that we need trials in our life, and we need testing so we can be increased. Our faith is increased. Our trust in him is increased. And sometimes, you know, those trials are not very easy, but he gives us plenty, lots in his word that tells us that we can lean on him, that we can trust him. And I want to share with you some of the scriptures today that I'm going to read through. But it says and I already mentioned Isaiah 26:3, thou will keep him in perfect peace. That's perfect peace, it says. It means there's no flaw there. But it says, it will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. And then this is some of the verses. These are the verses, these first three verses I want to mention are verses that we used as we went through the situation with Sandy's cancer and stuff. And they were very, very important to us. And Psalms 4:8 says, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. For thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. I mean, who else can guarantee you that? Who else can tell you that? Now, what is safety? That doesn't mean that, I don't know, that it may not come, it may come a tornado or something, I don't know, and blow your roof off. But that's not the safety we look for. It's the promise that God has made for us when our life here on this earth is over. That's the safety that we have. I mean, that cannot be eliminated. If we've trusted Lord, it can't go. It won't go away. But it says that we can lay down and sleep too. And I told you, when I get concerned and worried and tore up about stuff, I don't sleep good. I don't sleep good at all. And I woke up the other morning at 3:30, and I thought, and I don't know how it was right in front of my mind, and I could almost see it written on the ceiling. I'd made a cabinet door, and I made it the wrong size. And I thought, how am I going to fix it? Redo it, I guess. But anyway. And then in 2 Timothy 1:7, the Bible says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. So like I said earlier, when we get to worrying and concern about things, sometimes it grows, it turns into fear. And you know, fear can create such anxiety in our lives, and how it hurts and how hard it is to live when we're scared to death about something. And I know it's been a couple of years now, my daughter had surgery, and the fear had come in my life. But when we were at the hospital, waiting in the car for her surgery to be complete, I finally released my problems and my fear to the Lord. And I prayed and prayed and prayed. And I cried and I wept before God. And it's the peace that I could not understand that come into my heart and my life at that time. It changed me. And I'm not perfect, and I'm not going to be perfect until I see Jesus. But let me tell you something. I can do better. I need to grow. And as long as we're here, no matter if you're 100 years old, if you're still here, God has something for you. And boy, I mean, you know, and I don't know what it might be. It might be that you can't do a whole lot of anything, but lay there and think. But maybe we can pray for somebody. God always has a purpose for us. And then as we move on, John 14:18 says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. I will come to you. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Has anybody ever proven to you that they care more for you than Christ has? I don't think so. I don't think so. I don't think it's possible. Then Hebrews 13:5 says, let your conversation or your way of life be without covetousness and content, and be content with such things as you have, for he saith, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. All these promises that I'm reading to you out of God's word, nobody else can make these promises and keep them. It's impossible. That only God can do that. Only he can eliminate our worry. Only he can give us the peace that passes all understanding. Then Proverbs 3:5-6, which I'm sure is very familiar with everybody, but says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. So whatever your age is, whatever your health condition is, whatever your heart condition is, whatever your mind's condition is, God has a way to speak to you and communicate with you if you're His child, and that's through His Word. And He tells us in His Word that He, you know, that we need to study it to show ourselves approved. And when we study God's Word, He has answers, just like I told you about Isaiah. And I prayed for it, but I didn't believe it as well as I should have. But you know what? God said, I'm going to help him anyway. And He blew me away with Isaiah 26:3. There are so many other verses in the Bible, and obviously we wouldn't have time to read all of those, at God, how He intends to take care of us. And as I learned this week, my worry doesn't have to exist. I can do better and give it to God and let Him take complete control of my life, which is His desire, for me to be filled with His Spirit and be led by His Spirit and not walk in the flesh. And when I'm taking the worry and going through all that stuff, which affects, I think, many, many people, then guess what? That worry will control your life. God is not in control then, because it can overcome us if we're not letting the Lord run our life and be in control of it. But He has all these promises for us, and if I were as smart as I needed to be, then surely I would prefer the peace of God over the worries that confuse me and make me the crazy man that I seem to be too much of the time. And this also applies to every one of His children, each one of them. Now, back in Matthew chapter 6, I've got just a little bit of more I want to share with you. But God not only takes care of our problems, we know we have problems, and we talked about that. He tells us not to worry about them. We also talked about the perspective that He gave us. And when He compares us to the birds or the lilies of the field, it tells us we're more important. But look at the examples under us that He's doing. Then we should realize God loves us. He wants to take care of us. Not that we won't have problems, but He can take care of the worries. And He can put peace instead of the worry in our life and our heart. But as we see that, then also that it talks about, I said the perspective, and then I talked about the promises that God gave us. And I didn't talk about all of them. There are many, many more in God's Word. But down in verse 33, it says to put things in order. And I've kind of talked about this a little bit from throughout the lesson, but it says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And the things He's talking about is, I don't know if it gets any better than the peace that He's promised. If we put things first and put God first, His kingdom, get our priorities right and get them in order, because there's nothing else that should be first in our life ever as a child of God but what He has for us and His kingdom and what we can do to serve God, how we can bring honor and glory to His name. And that's the reason I wanted to share with you what God did for Sandy and I. And that's only because, you know, we put God first at that time. I should keep Him there because He has everything I need, and He's willing to supply everything I need. His Word tells us that. If I will put Him first in my life always, it says all these things should be added unto you. So, I mean, I don't have to worry about if I'm going to eat, if I'm going to survive, because I have eternal life through Jesus Christ, and that means I'm going to live forever with Him. I don't have to worry about today's life. But it says then, verse 34, it says, take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You know, after I studied this lesson and thought about all this, I said, you know, I always loved Sunday. I dread Monday. I said, I need to get rid of that dread. Because guess what? Them buses going to be running again. And you know, all this stuff, all these situations that can come up. But I should be able to turn that over to God. Doesn't mean the problems won't come. But he can give me peace, and I can deal with it like somebody that's rational instead of a nut, which I am a little bit some of the times, maybe a lot of the time. But anyway, I want to deal with things God's way and let him lead me in a direction that is right, because he'll never lead me wrong. But every other path I follow, every other person or whatever that I look to for an answer, not intentionally, but that can lead me in the wrong direction. And then when something like that works out, it gives me confidence, and I think, hey, they know what to tell me. Then that's who I'm going to look to. And that's not what the Bible tells us. It said, take no thought for tomorrow. And I'm thinking, you know, if this lesson really is applied to my life like God wants it to be, I'm not going to spend Sunday evening worrying about Monday. I'm going to spend my Sunday trying to improve my relationship with the Lord through the preaching of the Word of God, the singing, the services, but also with the time I spend alone with him. And I'm going to end by saying, peace versus worry is a contest. Now, I don't know if that's ever been in your life or if it's not in your life. It has been in mine, and I know that God spoke to me through his word in this lesson. Not necessarily from the way I was teaching it, but as I studied it this week. But peace versus worry is a contest. And I ask you today, who wins this contest? I don't know. Because you get to choose. I get to choose who wins. Well, I appreciate your time allowing me to be here and teach today. And that's all I've got. But God's got a lot more. So let's have a word of prayer, and we'll be, I guess, can I say you're dismissed? I don't know how they do that. But anyway, let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you, Lord, for this day. And God, I thank you for what you've taught me this week. And Lord, I pray that I was able to share some of that today, Lord, and have an impact on someone's life. And God, I know that we all face worries, but God, if we're your child, we have all the answers as well. And God, we look to you. Help us, Lord, to look to you for every need that we have, because you always give us the right answer. You supply the right, whatever it takes for our need. And God, we can trust you. And God, we thank you for your son, Jesus, who gave his life for our sins and for my sin, Lord. And God, I know today that we have much to look forward to, regardless of what today holds, regardless of what tomorrow holds. Lord, I thank you for all you've done. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You're dismissed.